Good morning and welcome to the Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the whole Bible, Bible's own way, and we're just having some fellowship before our lesson this morning. And the prayer requests and praise items that we have, we just want to lift everybody up to you, and knowing that if you're saved today, what a blessing it is to know where you're going to spend eternity. Mm-hmm. And many of us in here are getting older and hopefully wiser, but older, and knowing the fact that reality is sure, isn't it? There's two things going to do. You're going to either die, or you're going to die, and you're either going to live again with the Lord Jesus Christ, or you're going to die and live eternally separated from Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Hell is real, guys, and we need to share that with you. If you have your red book, let's go ahead and sing. We're going to sing Near the Cross this morning, page 351. We'll sing 1, 2, and 4, Near the Cross.
Jesus, keep me near the cross. There's a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain.
Today, and our weary bodies wore out, and knowing that his near the cross is one thing, in it, in the cross, and the understanding the glorious gospel, the grace of God, that God through his son Jesus Christ has provided through Apostle Paul in the writings, that we can understand that what a glorious day that we have to rest. And I look forward to a day of rest. There's some days I might be home, like this past week when nobody could move. I'm looking for something to do. I'm like, what a great time to rest. And how can it be, you know, rest? And you're like, there's something I can do, something I can do. And my wife watches too many home improvement shows, and she's got our place ready to just be demolished and turned around backwards. I'm like, no, rest, rest. But anyway, let's go to word and prayer. Father, once again, thank you for the day. Thank you for things you've given us. And so we think about the lesson today, that we may be able to glean through it as we go through the Word of God, rightly divided, and understand some fundamentals of dispensationalism that might be able to encourage us to study the Bible, to encourage us to share the Bible, and encourage us to believe the Bible and for what it says and for us today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We're in lesson 36, and Romans chapter 16, verse 25 is where we left off last week. Romans chapter 16, 25 says, now to him that is power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. Now, there's something about one other thing I want to share with you about this message. The edification structure is clearly set forth in Romans 16, 25 and verse 26, which says, but now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Now, it says nations right there, right? Is that one nation or many nations?
Many.
Okay. Who was the nation in time past that God worked with, worked through, and all the other nations were supposed to come to?
Israel.
You notice Paul does not say to known for the nation for obedience faith. Mm-hmm. Now we understand that Paul, through his writings, Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. Gentiles is nations. He is apostle to all the nations now. And we understand also, as we went through understanding the book of Acts a little bit, that Israel, the book of Acts, is Acts of the Apostles, and shows that there's a transition from law to grace. Shows you that Israel has fallen. Shows that Israel has been set aside. So it shows that Israel has been diminished. Without that fact, you and I today would not have salvation by grace through faith alone.
Amen.
You would have to go to Israel, become part of Israel, to get to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So even now, but when Paul talks about there's no distinction between Jew and Gentile, no difference, then guess the Gentiles and the Jews, the lost Jews, not the little flock, okay? They're saved, sealed, and sanctified in God's program for the kingdom over here. The ones that did not agree with that, Paul's heart was to go to the Jew, his kinsman. And he's seen that the fact that the synagogues was full of people out there that did not believe, one, that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, okay? Two, that didn't understand the dispensation of grace that was committed to Paul was not the dispensation of the law, not the kingdom program, that type of thing, was committed to Peter, as that type of thing. So he saw people lost. So that's why Paul went into the synagogues and went in to teach them out of the scriptures who Jesus Christ was. Now, you think many of them believed him?
Mm-hmm.
Many of them believed him. Many of them did not. And they was caught up in their religious. We coming up the highway, and I heard this song before, you know, and it was a bluegrass song. You know that song, Kumbaya? You know, it wants everybody to hold hands and sing Kumbaya and that type of thing. There's a bluegrass song, Let's Walk to Church Together. And the song is about walking to church together, okay, together, but you go to your church and I go to mine. That's what it amounts to, but we all serve the same God. I'm scratching my head. I'm like, this don't make sense. And you know what I'm talking about, right? You live in America. You live in the greatest nation on earth right now. And it doesn't matter whatever town you go in, there's a church on every corner, seems like. Are they the same faith? And I'm thinking, God in time past told Israel not to walk as the others did, told them not to worship as the others did. You think he changed his mind? So I'm thinking, this guy's all mixed up. He had one course in that song about the God that created is one God. They all serve one God. But they go to different churches. So if you're listening today and if you're encouraging people, we'd love to have you here. You know, we serve one God. We use one Bible, the King James Bible. But and we understand the distinct ministry of Apostle Paul, and that's liberated us, hasn't it? It opened up our minds and stuff. But the thing is, when you understand what he's doing today, my gospel, okay, the nations, he's going out to everybody. But it'd be wonderful to have a big church, and we've got hundreds of thousands of people. Well, God does. God's got one church today, right?
Amen.
And it's the body of Christ. And he's filling people in there by the gospel, Paul's gospel. You can't get in the body of Christ any other way. I know that disturbs people. I probably get emails later say, what do you mean you can't get in the body of Christ without doing this, this? Well, you can't. You trust Christ Jesus, died for your sins, buried, and rose again. And my gospel in Romans chapter 16, verse 25, my gospel is our foundation, and it orientates you to grace. Now, who wrote that when he said, my gospel? Peter? James? John?
Paul.
Isaiah?
Paul.
Moses? Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles. It's his gospel that he got from the glorified, risen Lord and Savior. He did not get the gospel of the kingdom on this earth. You think he knew about the gospel of the kingdom?
Yeah.
He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. Touching the law, it says, blameless. How many of us can say that? He could have. He knew that system. He knew Father Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He knew the Hebrew Bible. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews, tribe of Benjamin. So he had all the things that you could believe in. But his gospel, given by the glorified, risen Lord, preaching of the Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, and my gospel is our foundation. Two, the mystery. Our fullness is the orientation to the goal. Now you're going to understand what God is doing through Paul's epistle to understand the mystery program to our fullness. Did Israel have a program over here to show them their fullness? Yes. And then the scriptures of the prophets is our future orientation to glory. That's what we talk about. We need the scriptures of the prophets to understand how we're getting out of here. Otherwise, people write books about the books about the books about the books and more books. Had a guy mention about the, what's those ones, the Maccabees?
Yeah, Maccabees.
Yeah. Yes. And a guy says, why are they in their Bible? You know, they was in the Bishop Bible and all that stuff, and Catholic Bible and all that stuff. I said, because there's 400 years of silence between Malachi and John the Baptist that God did not speak. So who wrote those books? They're not authorized. God didn't tell them write that. But he did tell them write this. So that's one reason why it's not in your Bible. You should not have anything in your Bible that God did not authorize speak. That's why the King James Bible is very, very important to us in the English-speaking language. Now, let's move on to Corinthians. Corinthians, we got through Romans, right? We got Acts, Romans, Corinthians. Now, when you go come to the book of Corinthians, you'll find that they had bad behavior. And if when you read this, you're like, that's not a model church. Corinthians is not a model church, but that's where you find the gospel at, in the gospel of Christ. And reproof has to do with the way you behave. And the issue and the focus in Corinthians and in Galatians is still on the cross. In the cross, in the cross. Okay? Same as Romans. And 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish what?
Foolishness.
Foolishness. That's the great title of what Paul preached. the preaching of the cross. Without the preaching of the cross, you and I would not know what salvation is. And if you go on about the thing, it said, but unto us, you should have that circled, which are saved, it is the power of God. When you preach the cross as a part of behavior, you're going to get people saved. Chapter 2, verse 2. I love verse 1. It says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. That's a good thing, isn't it? For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him what? Crucified. Hey, do you know Jesus Christ and him crucified? Hey, do you know Jesus Christ and his earthly ministry? That's not what he said, is it? Him crucified. Chapter 15. You know what 3 and 4 says? For I delivered unto you first of all, which I also received. Now, where did Paul receive this from? Peter, James, and John?
No. Christ.
From Christ, the glorified, risen Lord and Savior, after he was died. Jesus Christ came, died, was buried, rose again, came back, stayed 40 days over here, had a Bible seminar with the 12, and then he leaves, and then he talks to Apostle Paul, and in this glorified state, Jesus Christ right now is the glorified, risen Lord and Savior in royal exile. He's not in prison in a dungeon in a heart of the earth. Satan don't have him bound somewhere. He can't get out. He's sitting on the right hand of the Father today in royal exile. So the God we serve, the Lord we serve, is a living Savior. Buddha, Confucius, all them other people, they're dead. But Jesus Christ is alive.
Amen.
And he says, first of all, I also received. He received it on the road to Damascus, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, what else would it be according to? My dream last night. According to the Scriptures. So this is not the mystery. I've had people tell me all the time, well, the mystery is that Christ was died and buried and rose again. No. Have you ever read Psalms 2? Psalms 22? Isaiah 53? He's going to die. You ever read Genesis 3:15? Promises of a Redeemer? The Redeemer's got to die.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So that's not the mystery. So don't let nobody talk you into that and say, well, the mystery... No, the mystery is that it was hidden. The glorious account that happens at the cross and by the cross, what he's communicating with us today that was hid in God from the foundation of the world. So you find the cross is an issue in Corinthians epistles, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
And the book of Corinthians mm-hmm. go back and draws upon the doctrine in Romans. That's why you got to have that basic foundation we talked about in the book of Romans. Justification, sanctification, glorification, dispensation, and application. It's all in there. And it's easy to understand if you sit there and just read Paul's epistles and read Paul's epistles, read the book of Romans, read the book of Romans, it's going to click. They're like, whoa. And now the doctrine's there. For example, in verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. You preaching what? That's foolishness. There's power in prayer. There's powers in this, and there's power. The preaching of the cross is to them who perish foolishness. They don't believe in what you're preaching. You know anybody like that?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Do you remember a verse over in Romans that says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth? The gospel of Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ that he died and was buried and rose again. Okay? And you preach that, and you should not be ashamed of that. If your pattern was not ashamed, why should you be ashamed? If your pattern through God, through Paul, said in him first, the salvation will come. So when you got a pattern that you follow what Paul, God through Paul says, and you know what I'm going to say, you should. There's two people in your Bible that says, follow me. Jesus Christ looked at the 12 and said, drop your necks and your nets and follow me. And Paul says, be ye followers of me as I follow who?
Christ.
Oh, but you worship Paul, they say. You glorify Paul. Paul glorified the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul did not glorify himself. Mm-hmm. He said, I am least than less than all the saints. Mm-hmm. He says, I'm nobody. Mm-hmm. I'm down here. That's a good place to be, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So go down to chapter 1, verse 27. Chapter 1, verse 27.
What? What part?
Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 1:27. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which were mighty. That's just the opposite of what the world's doing out there. You know that? Mm-hmm. You got to have a Harvard degree. You got to go to Dallas Seminary to preach. You got to go to these Bible institutes out there that got these brick and mortars, and you got to go there, and you're never coming back. You ever notice that? And 28, and base things, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 28, and base things of the world and the things which are despised have God chosen, yea, and the things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh shall glory in his presence. Hey, there's nothing you can do out there that's wiser than God. There's nothing you can do out there that's going to confound to be mighty. And just like Romans chapter 3, verse 27, where's boasting then? That's what it sounds like. Where's boasting then? Is it excluded? By what law? Of works? Nay, but the law of faith. You've probably seen some things and hear some things here lately. You know, there's a lot of fear out there in the world, ain't there? And it usually starts right between this 8 pounds of gray mass between your ears. Okay? And you see it, and you watch things, and you read things, and it puts fear in you. Mm-hmm. But you ever thought about faith over fear? Mm-hmm. What you scared of? Mm-hmm. What are you scared of? If they come here today and says you can't meet here no more, or if you bring the word Jesus Christ up, are you going to be worried about getting beaten 39 times, saved once? You going to be worried about throwing in the junk guns? There's people in the world today that believes this gospel that we're preaching are being persecuted around the world, and you're worried about somebody slamming a door in your face. You know what I mean? You're worried about talking to your loved ones. If you loved them, are they your loved ones? If they don't know the glorious gospel, the grace of God, you know they are. But what I'm saying, how much love do you have for them if you can't tell them the glorious gospel? Oh, but they may not let me see my grandchildren no more. Well, at least they can hear it the first time. And if Lord tarries, you may have another opportunity. I don't mean to preach at you guys. I'm just knowing that time is ticking. The Bible said this is high time. We should not all sleep, but we need to be awake. And you just go right down through the book of Corinthians, and you see how Corinthians is hearkening back to the doctrine of Romans. But the problem at Corinth is chapter 3, is that their lives were full of disloyal conduct. That's why their behavior needed to be reproved. It's almost like he took a whip to them. He come down hard on the Corinthians. Do you know another book in your Bible laid out in the book of for reproof? In Paul's epistles?
Galatians.
That's corrections.
Oh, okay.
What's up to Galatians?
Ephesians.
That's a book of doctrine. What's up? What's after Ephesians?
Philippians.
That's a book of reproof. Their mind, they had the behavior right. Their mind just need to be. And if you read Philippians, he don't come down them hard on them. He's like, hey, brother.
Like-minded.
Yeah, there you go. Come over here a minute. Sit down here. Let's change your mind. Let's change your thinking a little bit. Your behavior's right on track, but your thinking's not right. Now, Corinthians different. He's like, he was coming down on a, but you find the gospel of Christ. You know, you find the gospel in there. If Brother Walt was here right now, he would ask, but they are they saved? Remember, he always asked, they're saved. Paul don't write to lost people. Every book that he writes, they're saved people. And if something cannot be abused, it's not grace, it's what? Law. You're not going to abuse law. They're going to lock you up. They're going to throw you under the key. You know what the law does? Guilty. Guilty, 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 guilty. But if it is grace, it should not be what?
Abused.
All you grace believers say you believe you can do anything you want to. Can you? But do you want to? No. Grace teaches us to deny ungodly things. Right? That's what grace teaches us. So you don't want to abuse it. And we do. And that is the point in here. The Corinthians said, okay, we're justified by faith. We are justified by Christ's blood. And chapter 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 9, it says, know you not that the unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Now, who's not going to inherit the kingdom of God?
Unrighteous.
Does it say the righteous is not going to inherit?
No. Unrighteous.
And he lists some people here. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor rivalers, nor extorters, shall inherit the kingdom of what?
God.
Are those righteous people or unrighteous people he just lists?
Unrighteous.
He lists a bunch of them, didn't he? What does verse 11 say?
Such were some as you.
And such were some of you, but you are washed, ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. In other words, that is who you used to be, but you have changed. That's good news for people out there.
Amen.
Hey, God is reconciling the world unto himself by who?
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ. We have a word of reconciliation, ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ. Reconcile the world. So there's good news out there. And I really think sometimes where God's not coming down and picking Tom up and say, Tom, get out there, do this. And people saying, God's talked to Tom today. You know, or God's not, you know, doing things miraculously, that type of thing, that they don't think there's no God. So they go on about their business. This word will convict you and get in your heart, but you're like, okay, where's my change at? Why ain't I changed? I still want to do the things I want to do. You're going to battle that the rest of your life. Okay? But the Christ in you, and you get the right doctrine in you, you'll start saying, I don't want to do that. But it feels so good. It feels so good. But I don't want to do that. I don't want to be a stumbling block, okay? But in other words, it will change you. Verse 19, what? Know ye not? Chapter 6, right?
Mm-hmm.
What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not of your what? Hey, once you're saved and Christ paid the price with substance, by the way, you know what that substance was?
Blood.
That blood, that one drop of blood, that substance took that and paid for your body, and that you're not your own body right now. And it kills me knowing this, that people's out there, it's my own body, I can do whatever I want to with it. And they're Christians. I'm like, that's not your body. That's what we always told our kids growing up. Don't please mom and dad. Please the one who died for you. Because you're not your own no more. You've been bought for a price. It's not that you're a slave to it, right? You have freedom. You have volition. And verse 20. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are what?
God's.
Hey, you're the temple of God right now. The same God, the same Spirit that rose Jesus Christ from the dead is God. God rose himself from the dead, and Jesus rose himself from the dead, lives inside of us. That's pretty powerful, guys. You see, the emphasis in Corinth is practical. Take this doctrine of grace and put it to work in your life. And the problem is that the Corinthians were not doing that. What's 1 Corinthians chapter 3? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3 say. Verse 1 says, and I, brethren, cannot speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. He can't give them meat. They're babes. Verse 3. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and division, are ye not carnal and walk as men? They got a problem there, don't they? It's not a good one. Notice that the verse did not say that there was divisions and strife because they were carnal. It says because there is envy, strife, and division, they are carnal. You see that? They are walking in the flesh rather than walking in the grace of God. At Corinth, you can see one of the most wicked behaviors in their life as you read down through the first few verses in chapter 5. 1 Corinthians is broken up in two sections. 1 through 6, where he rebukes them for their sinful activity and their bad behavior. And then 7 through 16, where he replies to some questions they wrote to him about problems that they were having in their life. He wrote back to them. And you see in 2 Corinthians, where he does the same thing. He has to defend his ministry, though, because he was told that he was told them to get right, and they didn't like it. So Corinthians is a book of reproof of bad behavior. You think about that for a minute. He starts these churches in Corinth. They're saved by grace through faith, plus nothing else. They started either going back they probably have never left their behavior. And he's rebuking them. He's reproofing them. And then he has to defend his apostleship. Oh, you're not who you say you are. Yes, I am. I told you.
Messenger.
You know, that messenger's buffeted me. a type of thing. So it's strange, even you today, when you stand for this truth, oh, you're not who you say you are. I've dealt with that all my life. Ever since I come into this knowledge of this truth, people say, I remember who you are. I remember you, Junior. You know, I remember this. And you're like, yeah, I remember that too. But that's not who I am now. And they usually are like, yeah, but I know who you are. See, they can't get over it. And you defend. And you just say, click. Click. Rip.
So you don't know half of it.
That's it. You know, that's who I was. And such were some of
you.
That'd be a good comeback verse right there. And such were some of you. But I've been washed. I've been sanctified. I've been sealed, sanctified, and redeemed. So, how much time we got? There's something else I wanted to share, but I might pick this up next week, because before we move to Galatians, and maybe I will next week, because it's a question about when you preach to a lost man, preach or share to a lost man, how does the word affect them and bring them to salvation? You know? So this is really, really good, but it's I don't know how much time we've been going, but I can share it. Let's look at it anyway, okay? Because you might need this week. And the thing is this: a man will never get salvation without hearing what? Not only the gospel, but what?
The word.
The word of God. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians, be turning there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 13 and 14 says this: God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel. Now, was our gospel always there for people to hear the truth? Now think about that for a second. What?
No.
No, amen. What we talk about, my gospel. Paul's making a person. Paul's gospel wasn't made known until God made it known to him.
Mm-hmm.
So our gospel, without whereunto he called you by our gospel. When you hear the gospel, the grace of God, now you can be saved. And Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the words you can't find.
No preacher.
Right. Faith come by hearing, and hearing what? The word of God. You got God's word. Faith come by hearing God's word. It don't come from anything else. Popular Mechanic Magazine, sorry. That's fake, phony, and false. The Spirit only works through the word of God. And the word of God is a life-giving seed. It's very, very important to have that seed. Seed brings life. Seed brings life. John 6:63 and Romans 1:16. A seed has life in it. Ask the farmer. They need that seed, don't they? And we know what seed, when the seed was being spread out over and it fell on rocks. Right? But when it got into the soil, it brought life. But it didn't bring life on them rocks. And I used to hydro seed down in the coal fields on the high walls after they strip mines. You know what hydro seeding is? It's mulch and fertilizer and seed and water. And that mulch is newspaper, and it would cover that seed. In 3 days, that seed would sprout. And it sprouted on a telephone pole and on a rock. Now, would it live? It didn't take root. So you got to think about that. And the Spirit of God takes the life-giving message from the Word of God and energizes the dead spirit in a lost man, thereby giving light to dark and a dark soul. You think about that for a second. You got a dead man over here. But is he still alive?
Mm-hmm.
He's alive unto himself, right?
Mm-hmm.
But where's his spirit at?
God.
Dead. And you share this glorious gospel to that person, and he faith by hearing the word of God, and they believe it, that dead man becomes a live man. That's miraculous, guys. You worry about what God's doing today, miracles? That's a miracle.
Amen.
Through his word of God. And that's what we need to be doing out there for lost people. And Matthew 12:13 is a good illustration of the power of the word, that withered hand. Right? Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Are you there? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, there it is again, our gospel, be hid, it is hid to them that are what?
Lost.
Lost. To whom the God of this world, see that little g, of this world, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, shall what?
Should
shine. Should shine
unto them.
If without the glorious light of the glorious gospel shining in that dark ground, it ain't going to give life. And who's blinding the minds? He hates this gospel, guys. He will have them, hey, even when you hear this glorious gospel, don't you still have doubt in your mind sometime? Like, whoa. Why ain't this happening to me? I thought a minute I could do this. The Spirit of God energizes the Word of God in a lost man, the dead spirit, whereby giving them the capacity to receive or reject life. The way that Satan keeps a lost man lost is by taking grace out of the gospel. You ever thought about that? Verse 6 says, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, shine in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's what he does. He gives you the knowledge from this word that goes out, and what's Satan do? He wants to take the grace out of it and put works in it and keep you all mixed up. And when the lost man receives the light, and through his volition. Now, it's one thing God has never done. He never violates your free will. And he will never violate your free will. He ain't going to set you up and make a bunch of cookie cutter people to come to church. You choose. Hey, when he's sitting on this throne over here for 1,000 years, these people can choose not to go up there. But if they break the law, what happens? They get thrown in the pit. Then there. That's why they're like, ooh. Come on, Johnny. We're going to church. But I don't want to go to church. You see what they did to your Uncle Joe? For 1,000 years, he gets off that throne again. What happens?
He's
let loose.
For a season.
And he what?
Deceives
what?
The nations.
They're going to choose to go with Satan. So it never was a heart issue. Same as over here. The heart issue. The ones that had a heart issue with Jesus, with God in times past, I think they're there. They're part of the program. But the lost man, through his own voice, in his heart, he believes. And then the Spirit of God performs the five functions of Cribs. C-R-I-B-S. You ever heard that word before? Not a baby crib. Cribs. You know what it stands for? C is circumcised. The minute you trust Christ Jesus Christ, he circumcised you. R is regenerated. I is indwelled. B is baptized. And S is sealed. Those five things right there is introduced to that soul of that lost man. And whether he realizes it or not, he's there. And Romans 1:16 says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." When the lost man receives the light and through his own volition and his heart does not believe, okay, he chooses not to believe it. Have you ever met anybody like that? Mm-hmm. Tons of them. I don't want to know. If you could get to heaven, would you want to know? If you couldn't know, I don't want to know. And you may not have come across people like that. We have. And I have. It's sad. But I also look at them and say, you know, I'm a preacher. I'm going to share the gospel with you anyway. And whether you do it, take it to your own volition and believe it. But when he does not believe it, Proverbs 29:1 says, "He that is often reproof hardened his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." Remember that thing Stephen said? Look, them Pharisees, leaders of the Jewish, you stiff neck and uncircumcised in the heart. Mm-hmm. They didn't like that, did they? Mm-hmm. Stiff neck. You harden your neck. And your heart gets hardened. And you refuse by your own volition. And then a man in a dark room cannot see, can he? You like to be in the dark. Who's worried about the power going out? Honey, you know where the candles is?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know where the candles is at. Well, can you get them and show me where they're at? You know, and she's 15 drawers opening up. I thought you knew where they're at. Then she brings me out a little battery-operated
lantern,
and I always take the bulb out of it in case, you know, somebody turns the light on and runs the battery down. And it kept falling out, and she gives me that, and I'm trying to cook. And I'm like, "Where's the candles?" "Oh, they're right here." She finally found three or four of them. I don't know if she had found a lighter or some matches or not, but anyway, a man in a dark room cannot see. And when the light is turned on, the man will do one of two things. One, he'll see, won't he? Someone says, "Oh, turn that light off, turn that light off. I don't want to see." I turn the light on, I'm going to the bathroom. She can walk straight through the wall in the dark. And don't bother her. But I got to have light. I don't like to be in the dark. Or they'll cover his eyes to block the light. Right? I don't want to see, I don't want to see, I don't want to see. That's why in this world we live in today, as dark as it may seem, and we are in a dark winter, you probably heard that over and over and over. There's going to be light come out of this. You and I sitting here today has a light of a glorious gospel. And when you preach or share the gospel, you're going to go up against all the darkness that's stored up in that natural man's soul. There's a battle there, guys. Can you remember how you was? How you just refuse, and finally like, "I can't do this. There's got to be something better." And the standards and norms he used to make him feel good about himself, the legalism, the religion, as found back in Genesis chapter 3, where it all started in the garden. "Hath God not said, you will not die?" Remember the five water downs? That's still true today. And when God was there in that garden, and Satan was there in that garden, and Satan introduced human viewpoint, is what's wrong with people today. Because if they don't see what the glory, what God is doing, they're going to see what Satan's doing and seeing what themselves doing, and they're going to puff up themselves. They might not believe in God or Satan, but guess who's the God? That's dangerous. And it's right here between that head. That's why it's called the spirit, soul, and body. This spirit is cut off when you're lost. Your soul is still functioning. Your soul is still God's. But that spirit is dead, and when you hear the light of the glorious gospel, it shines in, it quickens that spirit, it gets down in that soul, and you're made alive now. And that's why he's talking about carnal, babes, national man, and spiritual man. And you got to feed each one of those people. And I may share that after next week, that as you bring that babe coming into a mature saint is very, very important. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for things given us. Thank you for this glorious gospel that you've given us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you once again for tuning in. If you would visit our website at www.dispensationalbiblechurch.org, and we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to see you, wouldn't we, guys?
Yes.
They're all shaking their heads, yes. You may not be able to see them, but they are. And tune in to our YouTube channel. But if you want to come and visit, we're here at around 9:30 on Sunday mornings at the Perry Community Police Station at 622 Genoa Avenue, Southwest, in Massillon, Ohio, 44646. And just let us know how you're doing. We'd love to see you. Until next week.